Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. It's nice to see a good turnout here tonight. Everybody talking, hate to interrupt you, but we'll get started here so we'll get you out. At this time, we're going to have a moment of silence and a pledge of Mr. Ramsey's. I believe we'll lead us in that.
Please join in with the silence. Thank you.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have the agenda up on the screens, and anybody wants to follow along. At this point, were there any modifications to the agenda this evening? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda for the evening?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. We have student of the month presentation.
Good evening, President Yoder, members of the school board. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce to you our December students of the month. The trait or characteristic of the month was that of pursuit of excellence, and the two individuals that I'll introduce to you this evening certainly are pursuing excellence in their life, academically and personally. The first individual I'd like to introduce is Caitlin Coots. Katie, if you wouldn't mind sitting up, we'll go over to Dr. Hollister. Katie's a senior at the high school. She's taken multiple AP and honors courses. She's a pretty awesome young lady. She is looking to pursue a medical degree when she goes to college, and she is going to be the first individual in her family to attend college. So we're pretty excited to have Katie with us, and we'll be sad to see her go. So, ladies and gentlemen, Katie Coots. And our male student of the month is Austin York. Austin is also a fine young man. Obviously, he's pulling double duty tonight. He's a member of our FFA. He's been for the last 4 years. He is also looking to pursue the Air Force when he graduates. So we are happy to have him enlist in the Air Force and look forward to the great things that he has to coming into his life as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, Austin York.
Just to add to the comments made by Mr. Sanger, I just want to personally thank both students on behalf of the superintendent's office for your leadership, whether you want it or not. You're called out by an administrator or by teachers in such a manner. You're being thanked and you're being acknowledged for work well done, but you're also being asked to continue to do that. So it's sort of a double-edged sword in some ways. We're saying you really like what you've done, but our expectation is for you to continue to do what you've been doing. So that's a request that I'm making on behalf of the superintendent's office. I also want to thank the families, because we know families are always behind our students' success in some ways. So I appreciate the families coming here. And once again, I just want to say thank you, and I wish you luck. Don't forget, wherever you go and as far as you go, wear the garden spot label on your back, and people in this community are represented by you. So thank you.
Okay. Then we have, moving on to citizens' comments. Were there any residents of the school district that wish to address the board this evening? Well, come to the mic. State your name. Where do you reside?
Earl Kreider. I live in Shirl Township. 25-year-old road. Ask the Lord's blessing on our meeting tonight. Will you please join me in prayer? Eternal Heavenly Father, reiterate, sustainer of all good things. Especially during this Christmas season, we thank you for the for sending your Son to redeem us, to save us, those of us who believe in him. Tonight, we especially thank you for the freedom we enjoy being able to worship God in the manner in which we choose here in our United States of America. We thank you for our Elanco school system, the administrators, principals, teachers, students, parents, and all the many other staff members. Especially tonight, we thank you for the dedication and the commitment of each of our Elanco school board members. Also tonight, we thank you for the high academic standards they all uphold. Thank you for their help in building a sound character in the student body. Thank you for their help in building wholesome relationships between the students and also the teachers. Thank you, Lord, for their help in developing good sportsmanship and good school spirit. Most of all, tonight we pray for your continued wisdom and guidance for each of our Elanco school board members as they continue to make sound decisions and judgments for each of our schools today, knowing that they will also have a profound effect upon future generations. In the strong name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray all these blessings. Amen.
Thank you. Okay. We have a special presentation this evening. Several of them.
We do. We'll start with an athletic department update. I gave you an overview of this last month, but our new athletic director at Ed Yatsuka is here to give a report on fall success. Before he begins, I just want to say Ed's been doing an amazing job. Very, very big role to fill. Very difficult to step into that role. Of course, he did a lot of training under Mr. right now, but it's still very different when you move into the spot on your own. And he has not had an easy go of it, so to speak. There have been several pretty significant issues this year that he managed very well and led those through to be led. So I want to compliment Ed for his work so far, and I'll turn it over to him now for an update on our athletic program.
Thank you very much to Dr. Hollister and to the Board of Directors for giving me this opportunity to speak here tonight. It's just generally some good news, which we all like to hear. I'd just like to take a few moments of your time just to highlight some of the great achievements that our student athletes have accomplished during the 2016 fall athletic season. First up, I'll speak about golf, which is coached by Tim Meister. Our highlight there is Cole Halpin, who is our Section 2 All-Star and our District 3 tournament qualifier. He finished second in Section 2 in season scoring with an 82.3 average. Up next is cross country, who is coached by Brent Watkins. Our cross country team won the Section 2 Sportsmanship Award this year. Some of our individual highlights is Cheyenne Hansen. She is a Section 2 first team All-Star. She finished fourth in the LL League and District 3 championship races and medaled at the PIAA championships, finishing 24th. Mackenzie Watkins, she was also a Section 2 first team All-Star. She finished fifth in the LL League championship race. And Rachel Fulford, Laura Snader, and Cheyenne Hansen were all named cross-country scholar athletes this year. Up next is field hockey, who is led by our first-year head coach, Katie Eby. As a team, they earned the LL League Section 2 Sportsmanship Award. They were honored as an LL League All-Academic Team. And the
Pennsylvania High School Field Hockey Coaches Association All-State Academic Team Award as well. Caitlin Nelson, she was a Section 2 First Team All-Star goalie. Blessing Bowman was a Section 2 Honorable Mention midfielder. And Cassidy Real and Stacey Horning were both National Field Hockey Coaches Association High School National Academic Squad. Up next is our boys soccer program, who is coached by Mike Ballas. He qualified for the District 3 tournament for the first time since 2012. A little fact about their playoff game from the 17 combined penalty kicks in the first round of districts at Hershey this year is a District 3 playoff record for the most converted PKs in a single game. And I vouch for that because that game took 2.5 hours to complete. Cameron Sensenay was a Section 2 First Team All-Star. Josh Boyer, Section 2 Second Team All-Star. And one of our exchange students this year, Luca Ventura, is also a Section 2 Second Team All-Star. Next up is our girls soccer program, who is coached by Coach Harry Klinger. They made the LL League playoffs for the first time in team history this year. They qualified for the District 3 tournament for the first time since the 2008 season, when the girls' season was still being played in the spring. Cameron Horst is a Section 2 First Team All-Star, and Carly Esch is a Section 2 Second Team All-Star. On a side note, their opening round playoff game against East Pennsboro. We'd like to think that possibly that could have gone a little bit differently had two of our senior starters not torn their ACL just prior to that game. So it's a great program, moving definitely in the right direction. This football was led by first-year head coach Zach Fulmer. Some of our individual highlights this year are Mac Boat. He's a Section 2 first-team wide receiver and kick returner, and he was a Section 2 wide receiver of the year for the second year in a row. Also awarded the Maxwell Football Club Mini-Max Award this year. Gary Clark, Section 2 First Team Defensive Back. Cameron Roth, the Section 2 Second Team Quarterback. Jahad Jeffers, Section 2 Second Team Running Back. Joe Craver, Section 2 Second Team Tight End and Honorable Mention Linebacker. Mark Ferris, Section 2 Second Team Offensive Tackle. Austin Warner, Section 2 Second Team Linebacker. Travis Fisher, Section 2 Second Team Linebacker, and Brock Kaufman, Section 2 Honorable Mention Running Back and Linebacker. Last but not least is volleyball, coached by Denny Werner, who earned his 300th coaching victory this year on October 6th at Solanco. They were again Section 2 champs, an LL League finalist, and District 3 quarterfinalist this year. As a team, they were awarded the 2016 American Volleyball Coaches Association Academic Award. Sydney Nichols, Section 2 First Team All-Star and the Section 2 MVP this year. She was also the District 3 AAA Pennsylvania Volleyball Coaches Association First Team All-Star, a Penn Live First Team All-Star, and also made the All-State team. Taylor Dixon was a Section 2 First Team All-Star, District 3 Coaches Association First Team, and All-State team. Sam Martin is also a Section 2 First Team All-Star and a District 3 Coaches Association Second Team All-Star. Shauna Zeissett was a Section 2 First Team All-Star and a District 3 Coaches Association Second Team All-Star. And Olivia Mundorf is a Section 2 Second Team All-Star. So I want to say congratulations to all of our student-athletes, and I look forward to many more successes by our student-athletes in the future. Thank you very much for your time, and Merry Christmas. Oh, that is me.
I love them. I see them while I travel. It's great.
I've seen that in the notifications. You're always right there. Liking and retweeting.
Well, it's great to hear about the successes winning, but even more so the sportsmanship and academic awards. It's really impressive. And sometimes people think sports and extracurricular activities don't have a role well-rounded students.
Absolutely. Yep. Once again, thanks. Thanks, Ed. His first year is doing a great job. Very important. A lot of good stuff happening for kids. A lot. Next up, we have FFA, sort of the agricultural program, part two. You remember we had some students here at our last meeting, and we again have a presentation, so I will turn it over to the students, I assume, or to
the application. All right, so tonight we brought some of our Bay students, these are seniors who are going to earn, who have earned their Keystone degrees and will receive them at the upcoming Midwinter Convention at the PA Farm Show on January 9th. We are missing one, Heather Zizet, who also got her Keystone degree but was unable to come tonight. I'm going to let the students tell you about their supervised agricultural experience projects and their favorite parts of FFA and what getting a Keystone degree means to them. But first, I just wanted to let you know how hard they've worked to get these Keystone degrees, and there is a long list of requirements they need. I stuck it on a sticky note just so I wouldn't miss any parts. But they need to have earned their chapter and their green hand degrees. They have to have completed 25 hours of community service through two different activities that are not FFA chapter related, so not things we've done at the chapter level. They need to have participated in at least 10 chapter activities, in at least 5 different county, regional, or state level activities, and they have 3 other options for their last requirement. Have worked and gotten paid, so like a job placement, and worked for 299 hours, done an unpaid paid work placement for 299 hours, or have invested $1,000 or made $1,000 off of their SAE project. So the student has to meet all those requirements, and those are set forth by the Pennsylvania FFA. So I will let the students take it away and tell you about their projects. And at the end of that, Samantha Shirk is also going to present about the Pennsylvania Governor's School opportunity that she got to participate in this summer as well.
Good evening. Thank you again for having us here. We appreciate your support throughout the year as we do a lot of different activities. I know it's only been a month since we were here, but it really seems like we have done a lot of different things. Keystone degrees, faculty luncheon, just to name a couple. My name is William Horning. I'm the chapter president. For my SAEs, I have done a little bit of everything, but not much of anything. I have raised cattle, pigs. I'd say my major project is renting a little bit of land that I'm farming, mostly in hay. And I've worked for my dad for a while. So, yeah, I've learned to pay a lot of different stuff.
Since he could walk.
Right.
Maybe even before.
Yeah, I like to say that I'm a slave there. I guess there are some perks with that, too.
My father has a sawmill, so I understand exactly what you're saying.
I view receiving the Keystone degree not only as an award, but also a challenge. Now that I'm a senior in FFA, I'm sort of challenged to leave the chapter in a position where the underclassmen can really take over and help it to thrive. And I also feel that I'm challenged to use the skills that I've gained through FFA and apply them outside of FFA in the career or in my career. So that's a little bit of what it means to me. Thank you again for having us this evening.
Hello, my name is Austin Mueller, and my SE project is working at Shady Maple. Nothing too special there. And then my favorite thing that I was able to do in FFA, luckily twice, was go to the National Convention. Once my 10th grade year, and in October. A really amazing, awesome experience. Very good memories that I know that I'll treasure for my whole life. And getting the Keystone degree means to me is that the training wheels of high school are taken off, and now it's time for me to bite into my future.
Hello, I'm Sarah Everly. I'm the vice president of our chapter. For 4 years, I have done work experience at our commercial kennel. My favorite event at FFA has been States. I learned a lot, got to compete, and had a lot of fun. I'll never forget that. What Keystone means to me, I just put a lot of hard work in these 4 years, mm-hmm. and now it's finally paying off, and I have something to show for it.
Hello, I'm Sam Everly, and I have been also working at our commercial kennel for 4 years. But I started off building a small fish pond. I started another SAE for growing tobacco because that's what we do on the farm anyway. So I started recording some time for it, and I spent a construction project with my dad that I've recorded in my SAE. My favorite FFA event that I've been to is the Big E. We placed third in milk quality and products and got to go to Massachusetts. That was a really fun, unique experience. And the Keystone degree shows that I've been through FFA for 4 years, participated, and now I have a degree to show for it. Move on with it.
I'm Ashley Barrier. I'm the treasurer of FFA. So my SAE projects are a little bit different since I don't actually live on a farm. So mine have both been from like improving my bedroom. So I've been doing a little bit of construction work and trying to figure out with that, which is really happy with how it turned out with. I've also had my work experience since I work up at the FFA Taco Bell. And then I also have been doing a little bit of like volunteer work that I would help out other people. And then I just started recording that for like hours because I thought it was something that I enjoyed and something that like really reflects on like what I've been doing with FFA. My favorite thing, okay, it's kind of hard to choose because I like doing a lot of the different stuff. So I would say states is one of my favorite things because I love that you have the challenge of having to learn about some kind of a career development event, and then you have to practice and work really hard, and then you get to go up to Penn State and then like go against other people and like really be competitive with it and show off. That's something I really enjoy. For me, getting my Keystone degree shows off like all the hard work I did and how just because I don't really come from a farm doesn't mean I can't do anything that everyone else is doing, and so it just really works off and shows that I've been doing my best, and that also since I'm like the only one in my family that's done it, it's really just great to like have a little bit of bragging rights with that.
Hello, I'm Adam Weber. My SE project was working at J.B. Zerman's and then also working at Narbonne Construction, where I would drive Amish around to work sites and then work on groups with them. Getting the Keystone to me, I guess, just means like it's a cool tradition that Pastor wanted to do for our chapter. My favorite FFA event would have to be the ACES and SLLC conference, where we would go to Harrisburg, stay overnight, and then do something with a lot of other chapters around the state, and then work or do community service around Harrisburg. And it was just neat meeting all the new people, new chapters, and meeting new people.
So I'm Samantha Shirk. Before I begin talking about my Keystone, I wanted to apologize for taking me so long to come in and talk about my experience at Gov School this summer. I've had a really crazy schedule of volleyball and everything, but so I'm just going to kill two birds with one stone tonight. So for my Keystone degree, when I started FFA my freshman year, I've been showing goats. I have been the person who has been raising the Arnie Hur Scholarship Goats, which is Dr. Hur, who helped start the FFA program here. He was one of the biggest, supporters of the FFA that started it. When he retired, he created a scholarship fund for students who wanted to pursue an ag career for like animal science or something like that. So he donates two goats every year to a student who wants to show, and then half of the proceeds go to a scholarship fund for a senior who wants to go into an ag field. So I've been doing those goats for the past 3 years. This past summer, because I was at Gov School, my sister took over it. So I did that. I also started the Tracy Marchini Scholarship Fund for students who, I took one of the goats that we bought, and I donated half of those proceeds to start a fund for her because she passed away from cancer in the middle of my freshman year. So I wanted to start a fund in her name for students who wanted to go into horticulture or ag education. My ACT this year was, I work at the Tractor Supply right across the street. I started out as a cashier, but as I stayed there longer, I've been working on the floor more, I talk to customers more. I actually know a lot about where stuff is and what you can do, like farming-wise, because I didn't know. So I do that now, and I really enjoy it. All right, so Gov School. So Pennsylvania Governor's School for the Ag Sciences. So what this is, it was a previously state-funded program paid for by the Department of Education. I'm in the States. My dad actually went to it when he was a junior. It's for current juniors going into their senior year who are interested in agriculture. is where you go, you stay on campus, you meet new people from all across the state, and you learn about agriculture. I was one of 40 participants selected out of 400 applicants from across the state, so it's a very prestigious program. So it's very competitive. So I applied in February this past year, and then I got my acceptance, I would say June, and the program ran from July 10th to August 5th, so it's a long time. So I applied because I wanted the experience of being around students of same academic level with similar interests. At this school, we're not a very big FFA program, and there's not a lot of kids that take a lot of the AP and honors classes that have the same agricultural background and interest. So that was really cool for me to go to that and see people with similar interests and actually get along, and we're all on the same academic level. So we've all taken a lot of the same classes, so that was really cool. The program also gave me a broader understanding of the majors offered at Penn State. There's a ton. The Ag College is incredible. There's so many different majors, from animal science to horticulture to plant science, plant pathology, animal production. I had no idea some of the careers that they had. I really enjoyed it. So that was really cool for me to see. And Mr. Lauffer helped me a lot. He was one who introduced me to it along with my dad, and then he helped me with my application. We went over it, and he wrote me a letter of recommendation to help me get in. So that was really, really thankful. The last thing was, I don't know if you've heard of this school, but it's called WB Salt. It's an agriculture charter school in Philadelphia for kids who have those interests, but they don't live in a rural area like this to get those opportunities. So they're at their school, it's mostly agriculture. You still get your core classes, but they have farms on campus. I've seen some of my friends, they have horses, and they're training their horses. One of their programs is they get to raise beef, swine, goats, and they actually get to show them at the Pennsylvania Farm Show. And they have the facilities to keep the animals there over the winter, which I would love to do, but I don't have a way to keep water running at my house and keep the animals cool to show them here, so I have to sell them October. And these kids get to do that, and I think it's really cool. And I almost regret not having the chance to go there, because I think it'd be really cool. So with the schedule, it was six core courses over 4 weeks. We had two classes a day, and they were an hour and a half long. We had a lab every day, and those alternated each day for each class. So the first class was, animal science. So that was in the morning. That was for an hour with Gina Peters, and she's one of the professors at Penn State. So we had that for an hour and a half in the morning. We then went on a field trip. We got to see the beef and sheep facilities tours, the turf grass, a lot of different places like that. We got to go, and then we would go to lunch. And then after lunch, we had another core class. And the next class that week was Plants and Society with Dennis DeCoto. So that was interesting. I'm not a huge plant person, but there's a lot more to plants that people realize. So that was really eye-opening for me. So after that, we had other workshops. We had a resume building workshop where we all had to submit a resume when we completed our application, and then we got them back the first or second day of Stub School, and he basically said that all of ours were terrible and we had to redo them. He gave us a worksheet with all these different words that you should use, a way to block out your stuff, and I had never learned that here, so I felt really, not prepared, I guess. I liked going to that, and I could actually make my resume look a lot better, and I think it does now, so that was cool. I learned a lot from that, actually. And then every Saturday, we went on a field trip. First week, we went to a camp up in, State College Mountains. It was a team building camp, and we got to do a bunch of logs, and we had to work together to get each other across or something like that. We went to another campus out in Pittsburgh, Penn State, Allegheny, I think. We drove all the way out there. We actually came down to the Turkey Hill tour, and we did a tour of that, and we got to make ice cream. So it's a lot of cool stuff like that. So at least we got out of the campus, so that was cool. And then each week we had one professional lecture where we had to dress with professional clothing, like tie, skirt, blouse, really nice clothes, and we had a lot of different people come in and talk about what they do, so that was really interesting. So here was the schedule again with the courses. So we had animal science, plants and society, ecosystems ecology, environmental and natural resources, ag literacy, and plant pathology. So they were an hour and a half each day. We had two classes per week. And then at the end of each week, our Sundays were a free day. We would have some group activities like tea bonding, but we had to submit a course report about our classes. So in class, we had to take notes, we had to listen, we had to pay attention, and then we had to submit a report about what we learned, what we liked, what we didn't like, and if you would like to have this class next year for someone coming up from the program next year. And then at the end, we did a service learning project where we got to choose which we wanted to do. I think there was a history one, there was a science and a lab one, and then not architecture, but working outside to landscaping, that's what it was. I chose the lab one. So what we did was we tested water pollution. So we were testing for lead in samples in water around State College. So we got to go into this really cool lab with like really expensive technology, and I had never seen it before, and it used like UV rays and like pH levels, and like that was really cool for me. Like I had never experienced something like that, and it's something that I would like to do, I think. So that was interesting. And then once we got a result, we had to calculate it. I learned formulas that I hadn't even expected hypotheses or alternate or like original, I don't remember the word, but that's what it was. And I hadn't even learned that in school yet, so that was a little scary for me because some of these kids knew what this was and I didn't know, but they taught me. I learned a lot of different stuff than I would in school here. So that was cool. And then at the end, we made a poster. We had to do some research about what the healthy levels of lead in water was safe to drink, and then we made a poster at the end and presented that to the parents at the end of the program. So this is a bunch of pictures from a lot of people I met, some of the lecture halls. That's me with my certificate that I completed it. That was us. We have us at the St. Allegheny campus, the Lion statue, of course. Do you guys have any questions? It was really cool. I would definitely recommend it.
You get any college credits?
No, so it was all merit-based. Yeah. But I do want to go to Penn State, so this just kind of helps me a little bit.
You know your way around.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Did get to meet the dean and the associate dean of the College of Ag, so that was cool.
How many participated in that?
40. Yep, I had a 400 that applied.
What class do you like?
Animal science, and that's what I'm going to major in. We actually dissected a cow udder, and before I was kind of grossed out with dissecting stuff, and I don't know what I was expecting. I thought it was like one little teeth that we were going to dissect. No, it was like the whole udder, and it was like huge, and it was heavy. So that was interesting, but I actually liked it, so... Yeah, I think I would like to go
with
that.
That's awesome. Any other questions?
I'd just say a couple of words. First of all, congratulations, Samantha. The governor's schools truly are competitive. I don't think she underscored that enough. I would love to see students in all of the governor's schools. They brought some of the governor's schools back across the Commonwealth. All of them got mixed in the economy. 5 years now, it wasn't even longer ago than that. The governor stopped funding them. They've been coming back.
Yeah, the ag school actually, this past year, the dean himself actually donated some of his money to complete the program because they cut the state funding.
What's happening is independent schools are taking on the financial cost and still using the quote governor's name for the classes, but they are very competitive and very intense. So I compliment you for giving up a big chunk of your summer to be up there. That's awesome. That's really great. So I'm hoping that we can plug in some more students in more of the governor's school. And of course, there's no reason we shouldn't have someone from this school district in the ag school over here. So let's make that a goal. Also, I want to congratulate all the students who earned their Keystone degrees. Awesome job. That's not easy. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work above and beyond everything else you're doing, including your jobs, including your activities, including your schoolwork. So you're all to be complimented. I'm hoping to make it up to Hershey on January 9th, January 9th to see some of you actually get those things done. So congratulations and thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
Thank you
for
having me.
had a question for Ashley. So if you don't live on a farm, what attracted you to that FFA?
What attracted me was my friends, Sammy and Sarah, were kind of into it. And then I've also heard of some of the people that, like Mr. Lawford and Ms. Martina, I've heard about them when I first started the freshman year. So, like, the fact that I was kind of, like, hearing about it from other people, and that they, like, what they kind of expected, I was like, well, I'm not really in anything, like, I don't live on a farm or anything. They're like, no, we should still try it. And then they had a little meeting that the freshmen could go to, so I took that, and then when I got to actually meet the teachers and then saw everything about it, actually kind of really put my interest to it, and then I started coming more into it. So then it actually kind of started changing what my future, like, looked like, because I never thought about anything agriculture, and now it's been, like, agriculture communications and all that now.
Oh, great.
It's changed it.
It's terrific. Good recruiters. And so then my question that I ask every year is, what year was the FFA founded? Then the winner gets a box of citrus.
Stepping out on his own to form, well, he already has a company that he's been working, and he just wants to see what he can do. I have to tell you just a quick story. When I was here as the assistant superintendent, John was still in high school, but had more access to the building than I did. I used to have to call him if I needed to get in certain classrooms because he had keys for everything, and they only trusted me with keys for certain things because I was new here. So that's the kind of the integrity and the character and the respect that the people have had for John. And he's leaving on good terms, as much as good terms can be, because we're all disappointed. But we wish him very well. He's made it clear that it's nothing that we're doing or not doing. He's just a young man who wants to give it a shot at his own company, and I fully respect that. So I did want to get that on the record this evening. We're going to miss John, but he's not going to be very far away. His company's going to be operating right here in New Holland, and I'm sure they'll be happy to offer service for fee if we need him. So, and we'll probably need him.
You spell out page two of that. It says status change of brand.
Say it again, Tom.
On page two, he's listed twice, his resignation first. And then to rescind.
Yeah, if you recall at the last meeting, we were actually upgrading his status hourly to an exempt position. January 1st, but with his resignation coming after.
Are we looking to fill that position then, or the one he was currently?
Right now, I'm working with Lotsy, the tech director, to see how we can shift duties around and what type of December 14th meeting was canceled, and our next meeting is January 4th, 2017, which is the Bureau's annual reorganization.
Okay, thank you. Lancaster 11, IU 13, Mr.
The Lancaster 11, IU board met on December 14th. One of the meeting highlights, we elected a new IU 13 Board of Directors member, Iris Garrido from Columbia School District, and I was so pleased to
meet her. I want to state publicly that she is the first Columbia Borough School District Board member that I have served with on the IU-13 that I instantly thought was exactly what a school director should be. She is a talented lady and is engaged and really wants Columbia Borough School District to succeed and is very, very pleased with the items that Columbia and East Elanco are sharing. Board actions, we approved $9.5 million in disbursements. We accepted and approved a clean audit for the year ending June 30, 2016. We approved the use of $688,000 fund balance to support uses and enrich on behalf of the program and service to our member district. So basically, the IU is giving $688,000 back to the member districts this year. The business services had two new contracts they awarded. Early childhood had one new contract they awarded. Instructional services had four new or additions to existing contracts they awarded. Technology service had one amendment to a previously approved contract. The HR committee approved six new or additions to existing contracts. The HR committee also approved 14 resignations, one termination, two retirements, 49 new hires, 47 change of position or salary, and approved six leave of absences. And we approved one new reading and the new, or one new policy. And the new policy we approved was how to use the policy manual. And another highlight is the IU-13 has an early childhood and special education services program that they run. The amount of money spent per year is $24.2 million. Last year, one of the things that they really honed in on, only 87% of the people who signed up for it were there from day to day. They increased the daily attendance from 87% to 94% in 1 year by figuring out ways to make the program more appealing to the people that came to that program. And I just thought that was just a wonderful, wonderful thing and another highlight. And unless someone has a question, that concludes my report.
Two questions, Mr. Irvin.
Yes.
How long is a typical IU board?
I got there about 5:15 and got home about 10.
And how many people work in their HR department?
Incredible
organization.
Thanks for serving. The IU is a monster organization. I've heard figures like it's second or third highest employer in the county. I think General Hospital is number one. So they're right behind
1,500 employees total.
Flip Steinhauer is one heck of a director. I don't know what is his exact title. Well, director of human resources, but he's amazing. He does a great job.
All right, thank you. Moving into Lancaster CTC.
The JOC of the CTC met on December 12th. First of all, it was the reorganization meeting, so we had the election of officers. And then we had a presentation on the food service. Kelly Price was the presenter. She was hired within the last year. Last November, the cafeteria was in the red to the tune of $52,000. This year, there is a $7,000, not, I shouldn't say profit, but it's in, on the plus side, to set approximately $7,000. She was hired to come in and fix the problem. There was a huge problem. And she's done things like, she's now ordering for all the sites. She oversees the entire food service program. It was being overseen at each campus by a person, but she does all of the ordering. She's found out what was in the warehouses, so she's using up the old things. And simple things which, you know, see, she said seem simple, but when you really think about them, the campuses now use the condiment pumps instead of the condiment packages. It's much more cost effective. So things like that she's done. I must admit I didn't truly understand the whole thing, but she talked a lot about being part of the commodities market. And her example was that from, I don't know if it's a state or I don't know who provides it, but you can go and you can buy so many pounds of beef. And then on the commodities market, you can also contract with someone who does the services to make them into beef crumbles for you. And then you have to buy them back, but you can buy them because of the subsidies, you buy them at a reduced rate. So all in all, you get a huge quantity of your beef, but at a reduced rate because you're going through the commodities program or the commodities market. It was really, her presentation was very, 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 she's very knowledgeable. Now, she did speak very fast, so it was kind of hard for me to take notes because she knew what she was explaining to us. But it was a very interesting program. She's also gotten a number of grants for the food program, so that is a cost savings. She's currently working on a new grant that's called the Salad Bar Grant. And she's working on a grant that is farm to table that will help with the food program also. The free and reduced lunch program is 41.64% of students. And she told about the meal components and what makes them eligible for the free and reduced program. And she also talked about the difference between offer and serve. And they use an offer versus serve program. The students are offered a variety of foods every day. What they choose is up to them. And then there are folks in the line who keep track of, especially for those free and reduced students, if they're choosing a qualifying lunch. If not, it gets charged differently. But in general, more kids are buying lunch rather than packing. So it's been a win-win because they're high school students. They need to eat lunch. They need to feed their bodies. And that wasn't necessarily happening before, apparently. But it is in larger numbers now. So it was really a fascinating report. She was very knowledgeable, and it was fascinating. We received this calendar. One of the students at Brownstown, and we'll get to meet the student and the teacher next month. That will be the presentation. It's an augmented reality calendar. Now, that didn't mean much to any of us, but there's instructions. You purchase an app on your cell phone or your device, and then what you do is you hold your device over the picture, and each page has a picture of, you know, one of the programs or something. But when you hold your mobile device over it with this app, you get to see a video. The principal showed us very briefly. He had the app, he held it over the first page, and the principal appears explaining a little bit about the Brownstown campus. I haven't played with it because I don't have a device that does that. My brother-in-law does, so on Christmas Day, my instructions and my calendar are going with me. Any of you who would like to play with it too, it's here, but I haven't had a chance to play with it, but I will. It was audit report time again. Now, I've written down words. I know what it means, but the opinion unit was very clean. There were no findings and no question costs. That means everything was A-OK. It's a low-risk audit because of the previous clean audits, and Keith Stolzfus and his staff did a wonderful job getting everything ready. So the audit was just fine. I have a tiny house update. The tiny house is 99% complete, and it is at the Brownstown campus, and we'll get to see it and tour it in January. It is 308 square feet of living space. The cost to build it was approximately $43,000, and they expect the sale price to be between $54,000 and $58,000. So that's kind of where that is on the scale. At Mount Joy, that's the campus where they build the new houses and then put them on the market. Big flashing news, the 2014-2015 house is sold, and settlement is scheduled for December 23rd. So that was great news. In terms of the new house project, the permits are in, and the building will start. Steve Risk is the head of this committee, and he works construction. That's what business he's in. They had a company come in to check the foundation, what was under the ground there, and about 5 feet down there is a solid sheet of rock. So he says that the instruction will start with blasting. That's going to be the first part of the project. Last month I had talked about the greenhouse that they would like to convert. It's now, I believe that's at Brownstown. When I was making my notes today, I didn't have, I think it's on the Brownstown campus. But it's now completely empty, and the last thing to go was a horticulture table, and they realized a $350 profit from its sale. It is completely empty at this point. The feasibility study is not back yet, so we'll get an update on that. They are planning a new program, setting up a new program of precision metals. The cost for that to get it up and going will be about $179,000, and they do have the funds to do that. It being Christmas, I have this year's Christmas card. This year's winner of the Christmas card competition is Taylor Smith from CV, Comstock Valley High School. Pass that along. Mr. Warren said it was a really tough competition this year. It was very hard to choose the winner. So, and that concludes my report. I will try to entertain and answer questions if there are any.
All right, any questions? Good question.
So, good report. Thank you, Melissa. It seems that $166 a square foot for small houses is pretty darn expensive.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Most of them sell for $70,000 to $75,000, so they're looking at that's. If you watch Tiny House on the Home and Garden TV channel, they're pricey little things. So that's. Yeah, and this one is on wheels. This one is on wheels. It was built on a trailer, the correct size to go down the road without another permit. So, it's totally mobile.
Sounds like a camper.
Do you
tree house of wood? Bigger place to shave.
They're not cheap either.
It's the outside is wood siding. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the inside
it's
yet.
More than a camper. Don't tell CP. Way
it's
more than a camper.
It's on a trailer.
We got it. The memorable. So headline or his paper.
But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really think it. The last time I saw it, it was just an empty. It was
Did they sell one already?
No, this is the only one
they
sell.
This is the first one. May 18th. Do you know when the sell date is?
No, I don't, and I'm not sure how they're advertising it and all of that.
Okay. Thank you again for that report. If there's another question, we'll move on to legislative.
Well, not a whole lot of legislative action happening in Harrisburg, but I'll say one thing. If our students follow the news, the last month or so, they got an education in how the electoral system works after election day, and I guess today it finally came to the end of electoral college voting. One thing that came out about the grading system, I asked Dr. Hollister to comment on that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Wenzel. That was the first thing on my list. We've been talking about this, the recommendations and the hopes and the dreams. At this point, I think more folks in the state are lined up, but of course now the wild card is what happens at the federal level, because there was some freedom coming with ESEA in the form of ESSA. And so we'll have to see what happens with the new administration. But presently, what is being discussed is the SPP, the average school report card that we talk about every fall. Our schools did very well this year. Secondary schools did very well this year. Last year, our elementary schools did very well, but keep in mind, it's changed every year, and it will change again, unfortunately. So it's very difficult to compare apples to apples from year to year. But with the changes, less emphasis on the standardized testing, a little more weight toward programs that schools are conducting, such as a rich guidance program, a rich career awareness program, things of that nature, some weighting shifts to courses such as AP, IB, and dual enrollment, which, again, we have some of those things, and it makes sense. All of us were given the opportunity to weigh in on this. I did weigh in on this as a superintendent. There was a review here, and a number of us participated in that feedback session. They did feedback sessions for a full year all over the Commonwealth. So I do think Secretary Rivera has done a nice job trying to really garner what people's beliefs are and what their preferences are related to the SPP. So I think it's, while the development of the SPP was a first good step forward, a little bit more holistic measuring of schools, this should be, it hopes to be, another step forward, a little more holistic approach and a measure and accountability for schools and school systems. So we're going to sit and wait to see what happens, but presently we're moving in the right direction. The only caveat to that is it's going to be, you know, next year's scores aren't going to be measuring the same thing as this year's scores. So it's going to continue to be sort of a moving target for everybody as far as that goes. But absolutely, if they can pull this off, we would support a move in this direction. Not where we need to be yet, but it's definitely a move in the right direction.
Just want to add that when we get to January, January should get a better feel for where the legislature is. Priorities will be, and we will be taking a little bit more once we get getting closer to the governor's budget and see what legislative action is going to be put forth there early in the year.
So we need to start the budget, right?
Yeah, we'll do the governor's commissioner. I believe they are the new Congress is seated by January 3rd.
Yes, first week of January. I did see one thing. The governor, I believe, is not filling. Is it 75,000 positions or something like that? There's a substantial amount to keep the budget more in line.
All right. Any other questions or comments on the big legislative issues? They're not in session right now, so our wallets are safe.
With that lead, I'll start with the
superintendent.
Just a couple of items. First of all, today I had an awesome opportunity. I met with teachers, or students who hope to be teachers someday. Two of them are already enrolled in college. They're seniors this year, but there are some other
students. We have a teacher club that meets during me time, I intend to make sure that club continues, Mr. Sanger, because first of all, it was a great experience. We had a fantastic 40 minutes together, and I really enjoyed it. But having said that, we are going to be desperate for teachers. We're desperate now. We're going to be excessively desperate for such a thing. I'll borrow from Donald Trump, we're going to be very, 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 very desperate in the very near future. And that goes across not just teachers, but I think many positions, our aides, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, all of those positions, we're going to have trouble filling. It's a worker's market right now. Despite what people are saying, we need people to fill jobs, particularly minorities in the teaching world. It's very difficult to find minorities. Fortunately, in this group, there was one minority, and I told her, you will be a teacher. You will contact me, and I will give you whatever help you need, because we need to really aggressively get some of our finest students into the teaching ranks. So it was a nice opportunity today, and I really, really enjoyed it. In your blue folders, I've got some communication from the district attorney, Craig Stedman. He gave you an update primer on the Pennsylvania Sunshine Act. There's no meeting here, right? So I get a panic call from the new superintendent of Manhattan Township. Did you guys get this too, or is it just us? So, with everything they've been through, I got right back and said, no, Rob, don't worry about it. We all got it. So we all did get it, but it is a really nice document. It gives you sort of the rules, but also some of the background for some of the rules on sunshine. I know we've all talked about it briefly with our orientations and over the years, but it is really important that we continue to pay attention to that. So I appreciate the district attorney putting that information out. We did have speaking of the district attorney, Craig Stedman was here a few weeks ago for the substance abuse forum that I thought went very well. We had about 150, at someone counted 146 visitors in the audience. Some of those folks were those who were helping participate. The conversation was really positive. It got a little spirited at one point with one member of the audience who really wasn't from this community, who kind of crashed the party. But it was very well done. The speakers were excellent. There was one fella, I've been around this in my profession since I was a first year teacher. I became SAP trained, and I've been around with what it means to be someone who's addicted, have substance abuse, and how all that interplays. And I gotta tell you, I never really got it until this week, or last week at this forum. Someone who has had addiction issues his whole life spoke and really cemented it for me about what it means to truly be addicted. So I thought the forum went very well. I know the people who helped present and who pulled it together, Zev Representative Zimmerman's office, were very pleased. So a couple of board members made it there. I know I saw Lisa, I saw Jenny, and who else? Anyone else there? Brian, were you there? So you can talk to those two, Melissa or Jenny, they were both there. Went very well. Melissa mentioned the audit. I have a request to the board. Our auditor, Carl Hagen, he's unable to come in January. And as I started thinking this through, he's reported that the audit is once again clean. I'm going to request that he not make a presentation to the board. We're allowed to do that unless you guys prefer to have him come and present. I will ask him to give you a physical written report that you can look at, but rather than have him come out and say, go to page 3 and then point to something and go to page 3. If he just gives us a written report, are you guys okay with that? Again, it's been a clean report. It's clean all the time. These, as I've said before, they're thrilled to have our work here because, as they've described it over and over again now, this is the layup. And the folks in Carl's office fight to come out to Eastern Lancaster County because it's such a great place to do an audit. So that's what I'm going to have Carl do then, rather than have him come out on a night. Not that we'll do this every year. I don't think that's a good idea, but we've had such a good run here that I don't think it's necessary to drag him out and do this. So we'll do that. The last thing I have is just, I got a little bit of time. It's just for fun. I don't know how many of you know this, but Wanda Mumal is retiring from the high school. Wanda's been there for a long time, we'll just say. And she's been there since she was in high school. She interned in the office and has never really left. But she is going to retire this year. And as a part of that process, she's going through files. And she put this on my desk. This is the report to the citizens of the Eastern Lancaster County Joint School District. And this was published in 1956 is the report. Oh, I'm sorry, that was when it started. This was the report 2 years later. But I quickly went through and just found a couple of things I wanted to highlight to see if anyone remembers who or when. The school auditors at that time were local. They weren't from Great Valley as they are now. Luke Martin from Goodville. Anyone? Paul? Earl? No? Harold Smith from Terry Hill? All right, there's one. I figured Tom would know a couple of these. And James Harsh from New Holland. No? Okay. A couple other fun little tidbits. The school opened in 1956, this school opened in 1956 with 500 pupils, not students, and a core of 25 teachers. This is all in the report here. Just 2 years later, as described, the infant had grown to 800 students and 40 teachers. So we were growing quickly. What did I have? Oh, I had this one here. Related to ag, since we had ag coming tonight, I highlighted it. It is expected that next year, in the fourth area of study, vocational agriculture will be started, providing more opportunity for the boy who wants to make agriculture his life work. How many girls here tonight? How many boys? I think that's awesome. So, for the boy. So I thought that was cool. And then just two more quick comments. In the report, they indicate what they believe, and I will read these, and we'll see that not much has changed in some way. So we believe in following our basic guiding principles. Number one, the public school is essential to our American form of government. Check yes. Number two, the school is obligated to assist in the full development of the individual, enabling him to take his place. Sorry, ladies. That's probably the change we should make. Take his place in society and attain personal growth. We'll add the females and we'll check yes to that too. And then number three, the school must take its place as a community agency, aiding and assisting the home, the church, and other agencies, but not usurping the rights and duties of these agencies. Check yes for that too. And the last thing I had, this was report was made by sincerely yours, Ralph C. Swan, Deputy Superintendent. Anyone? Ralph Swan? I think that was it. That's all I have. Thank you very much for involving me. I just thought that was fun to have.
That's interesting, looking back at what's
That concludes my report. I do have a need for an executive session for several personnel matters.
Okay. Any questions on the superintendent's report? Any other announcements other than to wish everyone a Merry Christmas? Time off to spend with family for a good season. So, if not, then we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.
Mr. Singer, where did that student-teacher ratio come from?